Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Carl Castle will not run for re-election next fall. Mayor Castle released a short statement yesterday announcing the decision. Castle points to personal reasons for not seeking a second term.
My wife and I talked about it this weekend. We have been having some issues, the personal side of things.
Asked about his health, Castle, who turned 65 in September, would only say he's, quote, getting older. Castle won his first term in fall 2015 after 5 years on the Assembly and a career as a borough administrator. He says he made the announcement not to run again well in advance of the end of his three-year term for political reasons.
A lot of my supporters were interested in contributing to my campaign before the new year so that they could contribute in 2017 and 2018. And we had to make the decision, obviously. I wasn't going to be accepting money from people for a campaign that wasn't going to exist.
Mayor Castle says he hopes the early decision results in a slate of good candidates to replace him and well-informed voters. Castle says the decision will not affect his agenda over his final 10 months in office. He cites numerous challenges he'll be focused on, most pressingly, the budget, which is being pinched by reduced state support.
We're evaluating all of the programs that the borough offers and doing cost-benefit analysis on those and seeing if we, anywhere that we could trim, creating the least negative impact on the community.
Mayor Castle has been discussing the fiscal situation with local leaders known as the Sandbox Group and recently held a public meeting and issued a survey to gain borough residents' input and perspective on the budget. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks City Council approved bonuses to help recruit and retain police officers and dispatchers. Council members Valerie Therrien and Jonathan Bagwell co-sponsored the resolution, which offers bonuses ranging from $1,300 to $3,300 based on years of service. Bagwell says the bonuses are needed because the department is short by 7 officers and struggling to fill the openings. He says interest in officer jobs has dwindled from hundreds of candidates to just a few.
Sometimes we have 3, sometimes we have 6. It's not the same as it used to be.
Councilmember Jerry Cleworth opposed the measure, saying the city cannot afford it in light of other needs, including deferred maintenance.
We have a tough year coming up, and we're going to spend $100,000+ here that should be going, you know, to that bottom line for next year.
Therrien and Bagwell emphasize that bonuses will be paid with salary savings from employees who've left the city. Therrien said police salary savings of nearly $435,000 would easily cover the $102,000 needed for officer bonuses, and that $215,000 in dispatcher salary savings would pay for nearly $28,000 in dispatcher bonuses.
So there is still money available in the police department to help fund capital projects if necessary.
That was enough to convince Councilmember June Rogers to back the bonus proposal.
The information that was given to us and where the dollars were coming from is what made me decide to join you.
Cleworth countered that the city has previously used salary savings to boost the general and capital funds, and that awarding bonuses to police and dispatchers undercuts morale of other city employees and compels them to ask for bonuses.
We just keep digging ourselves in further. This is not what normally is done with excess monies that are saved because of a position vacancy.
Mayor Jim Matherly expressed respect and appreciation for all city employees, but he says they don't face the kind of danger and stress that police officers and dispatchers do.
Not every one of them gets shot at, and not every one of them has had someone in their ranks get killed by a citizen.
In the end, the council approved the bonus resolution with a 4-2 vote, with Matherly, Therrien, Bagwell, and Rogers voting in favor, and members Cleworth and David Prus against it. Alaska's 2 U.S. senators helped Republicans pass the House tax cut bill over the weekend. Alaska Public Media reports that they also made last-minute changes to kill a tax on cruise ships and another to help Alaska Native corporations. Senator Dan Sullivan offered the cruise ship amendment, which erased the tax on foreign-flagged cruise ships for time spent in U.S. waters. The tax would have raised an estimated $70 million annually. Cruise Lines International Association Alaska President John Binkley says the tax would have specifically hurt cruise ship companies that operate in Alaska because they spend so much of their time in U.S. waters. Sullivan's spokesman says the senator had already noticed the tax in the bill and moved to ditch it. Senator Lisa Murkowski added an amendment that gives Alaska Native corporations favorable tax treatment when they put land or other assets into Alaska Native settlement trusts. Congress created the trust in 1988, in part to allow Native corporations to help Alaska Natives born after the 1971 Settlement Act, too late to be allotted shares in the corporations. Old Harbor Native Corporation CEO Carl Mars testified at a U.S. Senate hearing last month on the need to change the tax for settlement trusts. He says by law, a corporation's duty is to its shareholders.
We need a mechanism to be able to move assets over to take care of the whole, not just those that were born prior to 1971.
Mars says the tax changes would, among other things, allow a corporation to put pre-tax funds in a settlement trust. The trust would be taxed on the income, but the rate is much lower. The cruise ship and Native corporation amendments appeared on a list of 30 changes Republicans made. The list emerged Friday night while Democrats were on the Senate floor complaining they still had not seen the final language of the tax cut bill. Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer lamented that his side had to get the list from lobbyists.
My Republican friends allowed lobbyists to see amendments and likely the text of this bill before their fellow U.S. senators.
Differences in Senate and House passed tax bills, including a provision to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling, will be worked out in conference committee. Residents of five North Slope communities will soon have access to much faster internet as Anchorage-based Quintillion has activated a new fiber optic cable. Company officials say it's the first part of a network that could eventually stretch from Europe to Asia, with Alaska at the midpoint, KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Quintillion activated its 1,200-mile terrestrial fiber-optic cable system on Friday, giving residents of five North Slope communities a quantum leap forward in broadband internet access.
It's a pretty phenomenal capacity, really unlimited for the purposes of the communities that we will be connecting.
Quintillion spokeswoman Christina Woolston says Nome, Kotzebue, Point Hope, Wainwright, and Utqiagvik all will soon have access to the internet through the system. She says its overall capacity is 30 terabits per second.
Millions of high-definition movies downloaded in a second.
Woolston says the communities each will have access to up to 200 gigabytes of data per second.
Certainly the capacity on the system overall is there.
And it'll be much more dependable than the slow and often bulky connections that satellite-based systems afford, according to the head of Aztac, the North Slope's biggest internet service provider.
Instead of going 23,000 miles into outer space to a satellite and then 23,000 miles back to an Earth station and then hand off, you know, in Anchorage to the internet connection, it's now happening, you know, at the speed of light over this fiber.
Aztac CEO Jens Lipinex says that'll cut the time it takes to transmit data from a server to a computer, the so-called latency, by more than 90%, down from 900 milliseconds to about 60 milliseconds.
You know, the overall quality of the bandwidth is vastly superior.
Lipinex says Aztac's been laying fiber to the homes of all of its 1,100 internet customers in the five communities over the past couple of years. Lipinex says Aztac is now studying how to extend its system farther eastward to other North Slope communities that are still stuck with satellite-based internet connections.
The village of Koktovik, Atkasuk, south of Barrow, Point, Lay, and Anaktuvik Pass.
Woolston says the Alaska terrestrial system links into larger internet lines that originate in the Pacific Northwest and that land at several points in south-central Alaska and the Kenai. Quintillion officials plan to lay another 10,000 miles of subsea fiber-optic cable from the landing in Nome westward to Tokyo and from Prudhoe Bay eastward to London. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.